Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, BethelStratford.org.
Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. We're continuing our series this morning on reminded and renewing of our minds and being transformed by the power of God. Our key verse for this series is Romans 12:2. It says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's just take a moment to pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the privilege and honor to just turn to your word and read from your word and listen from you, Holy Spirit. I ask you this morning, Father, to hide me behind the cross and let my words be your words. Speak through me today. And Lord, I pray for everyone in this room and watching online that we open up our ears and our hearts to hear from you, to receive from you. That, Lord, we give you permission to speak to us, to change our hearts, to change the way we think, to change the way we see things. And Holy Spirit, we just want to look more like Christ. And so we give you permission to do that in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. See, the renewing of our minds, it means changing the way we look at things, changing the way we see things, changing what we believe. Really, doing away with unhealthy thought patterns and replacing them with true, godly ones. And it starts from within. See, Scripture tells us that what flows out of our mouth comes from our heart. So as much as sometimes we have a moment in a day, is anybody like me that you've had a moment in a day where all of a sudden you're like, whoa, where did that come from? Anybody? Anybody confess? Like, yep. It came from our hearts. This is the hard part about it, is when it comes out and we're like, where did that come from? It comes from our heart. And that's why we continually need God to change our hearts, to shape our hearts, to cleanse our hearts, to change who we are. Because we're constantly putting our old self to death so that the new can live. This morning I want to look at something that I believe as Pentecostals especially, that we need to renew our minds in the way we think of things. So this morning we're going to look at fruit over gifts. Fruit over gifts. Now if you're new with us and you're like, you're talking about apples over presents, that's not what I'm referring to. As we're getting close to Christmas, I'm not going to give my kids a bag of apples instead of a gift. We're talking about fruit, spiritual fruit. And we're talking about spiritual gifts. And as Pentecostals, we believe in spiritual gifts. We believe that they're active today. And I believe we need them. And I believe that they should be functioning in the church. But I also believe that if your fruit stinks, if your fruit is rotten, your gifts are no good. Therefore, we always have to worry about our fruit. How do we appear? How do we sound? How do we, I don't want to literally say smell, but you understand what I mean. Does your character stink? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, there's certain parts of this where I think we've got it wrong. And sometimes we raise people up who are very, very gifted because they have a spiritual gift, and we raise them up to this platform, and then we wonder why they've fallen. Because we never look at fruit. We never look at character. And this is why we have to look at it and realize, I think sometimes we've got it wrong. See, we lose sight of the heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us, Matthew 7, verse 15, he says this. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And here's what Jesus tells us. He warns us about false prophets. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear good fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Nowhere in Scripture do I see or can I find, and if I'm wrong, just show me, where it says you will know my apostles, you will know my disciples by their gifts. Now, there's spots in Scripture where it says these things will follow those who believe in me. Yes. But it doesn't say we'll be known for these things. Many times in Scripture it talks about, and we'll read through some of them, you'll be known for how you love. How you love. By the way we live over how we perform. See, when we look at gifts over fruit, we allow behaviors that are not biblical. We allow behaviors of leaders, of pastors, of Christians that aren't biblical. And see, many people will say, well, I'm just speaking the truth. Well, the truth can be spoken in love. Sometimes you're just rude. And you wonder why people don't listen. I don't understand why people aren't listening to what I'm saying. Well, you're a jerk. Yeah, but I'm just sharing truth. Well, truth shared by a jerk is still a jerk. Truth shared in love is usually received. Because when we speak in love, people know that we care. When we share in love, people know, I want to share this with you because I care about you. When I'm rude, people just block you out. See, Ephesians 4, verse 15, it says this. Instead, speaking the truth in love, you will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. When we speak in love, we will become in every respect the mature body of Christ. See, the moment we read a scripture and it starts with instead, I hope you have your Bibles and I hope you already made a note that, like, hey, I should read more of this because he started with the word instead. Or if the starts off with the word but or therefore, you're kind of like, what's the but about? What's the instead about? So Ephesians 4 is actually in context. We're going to read 11 to 16. It says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here or there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Christ who is the head, mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love
as each part does its work. See, Paul is showing that Christ gave all of these people. We have to understand that the gifts are important. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, they were placed here by God. Can we clarify something as well, though? Can we, in the media room, can we bring up those this first two slides again for this scripture? Verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. So we understand this is what he brought to the church. This is what he's bringing to the church. But what we have to understand is their role. So as a pastor, as a teacher, my role is the next verse, and it says this: to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Here's what you have to understand. All the pastoral staff here are not here to actually do all of the work. So when we're asking for volunteers and when we have something coming, we're like, hey, we need some volunteers for this. And the thought pattern, let's leave that scripture on the screen for a little longer. The thought pattern goes through your mind, well, isn't that why we pay staff? No, it's not why you pay us. You pay us to equip you to do the works of the Lord. That's how. When the whole body, can you lean to your neighbor and say, I'm actually part of the body? And I'll say back to your neighbor, yes, you are part of the body. Now, do you want to ask your neighbor, are they the sleeping leg? Or are they the active? I'm just teasing. Don't ask that question. Don't ask that question. But when the whole body works together, it works together so that the body of Christ can be built up and strengthened. Can you imagine what our church could do if the whole body was functioning? I remember as a young person, and there's memes all over the internet with this, and it's true. I remember when I could be doing something crazy and stupid. And like one time, I tell you a story, I jumped off the back of a Sea-Doo on Lake Ontario at 60 miles an hour. Why? For giggles. That's why. No other reason. Just to see what would happen to the human body at that speed across water. So, now some of you are questioning why you actually listen to me every week. Or you're like, that explains a lot. That day, I got up, I worked. The next day, I got up, I worked. No problems. I can, like, go to tie my shoe today. And also be like, what just happened to my back? The body of Christ actually needs every part working so that the body can function at its fullness. I wonder how often Jesus sits in heaven and goes, man, what's wrong with the back of my church? What's wrong with my foot? What's wrong with my eye? What's wrong with my ear? What's wrong with my hand? But we use these people to build up the church. The gifts are good. This is what I want you to hear this morning, is I'm going to talk about fruit over gifts. I don't want you to misunderstand me. And I think if you've been here long enough and you know me, you know that we want gifts operating in our church. This is not a, we don't want gifts. Gifts are powerful. Pastor Melissa and I want gifts happening on a Sunday morning. The leadership, we want to see the gifts moving because the gifts are important to do the work of God. This is why Pastor Melissa on Wednesday night, was teaching our prayer team about the prophetic and how to use prophecy during prayer time and ministering to people. So we're not saying we shouldn't have it. We want to have it. What we're saying is we want people that do it in a loving way, that are fruitful, that build one another up. We are to serve one another. Because in verse 12 and 13, it says that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become, we've heard this verse a few times, mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. See, Christ wants us to have life and have it to the fullness. We just have to allow him to mature us. And maturing can sometimes really stink. My son and I, we were talking about maturity this week, and we're just talking about knowledge and how when we're mature, we can attain more knowledge. We can be trustworthy with more knowledge because when we receive it, it doesn't mean we have to share it. Some of us receive knowledge or we know of something and we want to share it so people realize that we might be in the know or we're someone special when actually it's supposed to be silent. And it's a maturity of how we know when Christ is speaking, when he's not. See, Christ wants us to have it to the fullness. But we need to serve one another and build each other up. Do you know how I know when I come across mature leaders? You don't need credit for anything. You don't need credit. You can serve in an area and you can hear people talking and be like, even at work, man, this area is just, the productivity is incredible. I'm in charge of that area. You know what I'm referring to? Because maybe you've had a boss where somebody is complimenting you and the boss steps in and goes, well, I oversee all of that. Mature leaders allow other people to get the credit. Mature leaders are able to serve quietly. Can I confess to you in an area where I'm realizing I'm not mature? I'm just telling one. I got too many guy friends in the room that I'm like, I might as well just kind of say this before I see whispering happening. One of the areas that I realize as a husband that I need to mature in, I know all the ladies right now are like, oh, I'm listening up and I'm ready to elbow. I'm trying to get better. Hear the word trying. At doing certain work around my house without telling my wife I did it. See all the wives laughing and all the husbands are like, ugh. It's hard. It's hard. But you know what it tells me? It tells me how much of my flesh still wants recognition, still wants a pat on the back, still wants a datta boy. Not that Melissa's ever looked at me and said, datta boy. Realize I'm like, if this is your first time with us, no, it doesn't get much better than this. This is. It lets us know certain parts of our heart that we still need God to work in, that we still need God to improve in. And so many of us, we just need God to renew us. See, remember, the gifts are good, and we need gifts to show God's power. But God is love. Remember this, God is love. So love and fruit need to bring his power. That's how his power is presented. I want to read for you something, and I somehow, don't ask me how, but it hit me this morning, and I was like, oh, I don't even have this in my notes for some reason. I want to read to you just a few passages of scripture, just 8 verses. And the moment I start reading them, many of you are going to know them. Even if you've never been to church, you're going to know them because you've probably been to a wedding. And many people refer to this chapter. It's 1 Corinthians 13. It's not on the screen, so turn in your Bibles. And many people refer to this as the love chapter. And Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. And what you have to understand is this. Paul is writing in chapter 12 about spiritual gifts. In chapter 14, he's still talking about spiritual gifts and the order of which they're used in a public service like this. Nowhere, as Paul is writing this whole letter, because realize he didn't write in chapters. This 1 Corinthians is just one big letter. Okay, it's one long email. And as he's writing it, nowhere did he was writing it and then go, oh, wait a minute, John and Susie are getting married on the weekend. I should send them a little verse to read on love at their wedding, and then I'll pick this up in a second. So this love part is actually written about the gifts and how they're to be used in a service and in the church. And this is what it says. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Chapter 13, verse 2. 1 Corinthians, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but, read this with me, have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. You can have whatever gift you want. But scripture's very plain. If we don't love people, you are a sounding gong. Anybody remember Charlie Brown? You are the teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Some of the kids in the room are like, what in the world is he talking about? This is who we are. This is what we sound like to other people. When you're trying to share your faith at church, when you're trying to share your faith at work, but you just finished ripping the boss apart or gossiping about a coworker, and you're not sure why you're not able to lead people to Jesus. When you're trying to show your kids how important Christ is in your life, but you just finished yelling at your spouse. Paul is very clear that love is what we need. And then he moves into the part of this chapter that we read at every wedding, even though it has nothing to do with the wedding, although it's true. And he says this, if you're wondering, Chad, how do I love others? Because see, here's the thing in our world, the problem with our world. Our English language has one word for love. Love. Hebrew language had so many different levels of love. Because here's the weird part. Husbands, I want you to look at your wife for a minute if she's sitting beside you, and I just want you to tell her you love her. Did everybody do it? Ladies, did any of your husbands not do it? Oh yeah, I'm centering dudes out. It just meant they didn't follow instructions. Now, guys, I want you to look at your wife and I want you to tell her that you love your favorite food, whatever it is. I love wings. Chicken wings. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but ladies, hopefully in the tone of voice, the first one, when they said that they love you, sounded more sincere Man, that might be a question you want to ask later. Which one sounded more sincere? And if she happens to say, when you said I love chicken wings, it sounded more sincere than when you said I love you, that's something to work on. But here's the confusing part, right? We literally tell our spouses, we tell our children, we tell people that we love, I love you. And the very next sentence, you can take a bite of a cookie, a baked good, you can take a bite of dinner and be like, oh, I love this. I've had meals with Melissa where she'll take a bite of something and it is, she's laughing already because she knows. It is so good, she giggles. This isn't a knock to my wife. My wife loves me. But I don't remember the last time that she gave me a kiss or she, see, everybody's laughing already, that she said, I love you, and then giggled out of, like, not out of, like, laughter, but actual, like, emotion. Right? So this is where our society, it's hard for us when we say love, love one another. What does that mean? What level of love are we talking about? Like, I love new socks. I do. Ankle ones, don't go high. They're weird. Ankle socks, always ankle socks. If you like the high socks, I apologize. Just don't wear them full extension with shorts. I share that in love. I'm sharing truth in love. So Paul tells us, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Paul writes all about love. And then in chapter 14, the first thing he says is this: follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. I find, especially in Pentecostal churches, we read the part of this verse that says, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy, but we leave out the part, follow the way of love. Paul writes this whole chapter, and then he encourages us to desire the gifts, but in a loving way. See, we have our encounter services like we are tonight so that we can encounter the Holy Spirit, that we can encounter the gifts, that you will be empowered by the gifts. I believe and pray that Holy Spirit meets you and empowers gifts in you, fans into flames the gifts that are already in you. But we need to work on the fruit that we speak in love. They're meant to build each other up. See, John 15, verse 16 and 17 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Love each other. Love each other. See, he connects love with bearing fruit, fruit that will last, a legacy. John 13, 34 to 35, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We love because Christ loved us. When we celebrate other people's victories, when we celebrate other people's blessings, when we celebrate other people's gifts, that's a level of love. That's when you know that you're maturing in your life, maturing in your heart. When I can celebrate that you are doing something that I wanted, that I desired, that maybe I'm praying for, and out of nowhere, the Father blesses you with it. If I celebrate that, that's love. That's maturity. When I question, why did they get it? God, do you know this and this about them? First off, God does. Second off, he's probably working on your heart. And we let him renew our hearts so that we can be mature. Here's what we have to understand. So many of us in the church are praying and believing for the verse where God says, where Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. And so many of us want life to the fullest and we want this maturity in Christ. But what we have to do is recognize where we are immature and allow the Holy Spirit to work in that. There's power in confession. There's power in confession. That's why we're actually to confess one to another. When you confess one to another, there's accountability immediately. There's not judgment. There should never be judgment. Because if I come to you to confess something to you, first off, let's everybody realize, if you've ever confessed something to somebody, it has taken you a while to cook up the guts to do that. So if somebody comes to you and confesses something, please know this, they trust you so highly. They're begging and pleading inside that you will speak now in love. Not correction. Can I even share? Not even in wisdom. Love. Love. And then we hold each other accountable in love. Thanks for sharing. Can I pray with you? Since you've shared this with me, is it okay if I text you this week to see how you're doing? Most likely the response is going to be, yes, please, that's why I've come to you. We don't see the church growing spiritually in maturity because of our thought patterns. When people go forward for prayer, when people raise their hand for prayer, some of you are nervous to go forward or raise your hand because of what you thought of somebody else doing it, and then you're worried that somebody else is going to think that of you. Do you want to know what I think from the front? When I see people raise their hand, if I ask, hey, does somebody have a need in this area? Can we pray for you? If you, all eyes closed, just raise your hand. Do you want to know what goes through my heart when you raise your hand? All that goes through my heart is, I wonder what's going on. I'm going to pray for them. And I know I'm praying from the platform, but I pray for you in the week. If we're praying about getting closer to God and you just feel you need to come back into alignment or there's something's happening, I just want you to know that all that goes through my heart is, oh man, praise God. I can't tell you how many times I've had to come back to the Father and say, I screwed up again. I messed up again. How many times during a day that something goes through my head that I go, Lord, that is not the thoughts that I want. Father, I want your thoughts. And then I begin to praise him and thank him because those are the thoughts that I want. I begin to talk about how great God is. If I'm in a moment where I'm not sure what to do, I don't know what to say, I just begin to pray in my heavenly language. And it so quickly quiets my flesh. Don't let those moments beat you up. Confess them. Tell the Father right away, God, I don't want that thought. I don't want to think that way. I don't want to criticize that person. That's not my heart. My heart is being made new. Some of us just have to realize that our prayer has to get right to where David was. Lord, you know what? Don't fix my heart. Don't heal my heart. Don't repair my heart. As David cried out, create in me a new heart. And Father, renew my mind. I want the fruit of the Spirit. Since we know that God is love, how can we share him with others if we ourselves are not loving? See, what we have to remember is fruit comes from spending time with the Father, spending time with him. Our love flows from him. When we read in John 15, right in the beginning, Jesus says that he is the vine and we will bear fruit if we're connected to him. That's where the fruit of the Spirit comes from. That's where all of those things of love come from, by being connected to him. See, when we started this morning, we read Matthew 7 and verse 15 to 20 about false prophets. But Jesus continues in verse 21 and he says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I don't know about you, but when we read through those things, those people would be very popular today. They would be ministers, leaders that we would all follow. We can even add to this people that know Scripture, study Scripture, memorize Scripture. They could pray with big fancy words. But Jesus says there's a chance that he will declare, I never knew you. See, here's the thing that we can't wrap our heads around. You can have gifts, you can have knowledge, and you can pray, but he doesn't know who you are. I don't know about you, but there's a level of like reverence. The fear of the Lord comes in there, where all of a sudden it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Do I spend time with the Father? Does he know me? See, Galatians 5:22, it says this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which means patience. I'm not sure why they don't just put patience instead of forbearance. But anyway, it's to mess people up with their reading like me. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Those of us who belong to Christ, we crucify the flesh, its passions and its desires. All that happens when all of a sudden you have a desire or a passion or something happens, you're like, man, I don't want that. It's just showing you a part of your body that needs to die. That's all. Don't let the enemy beat you up. Realize that, okay, hey, God, help me with this. This is where I start. Today, this is what I'm working on. That helps us keep in step with the Spirit. See, we need to desire the gifts, but we need to desire the gift giver more. We want to spend time with him. We need to desire his presence. His presence is where our minds are renewed and our hearts are transformed. That's where we need to be. Prayer team, will you come and join me? See, here's the answer for many of us when we talk about loving others. If you see the fruit of the Spirit and you're asking, okay, God, I need more love in my life. I need to be able to love others. That comes from time with God. Lord, I just need joy in my heart. I don't remember the last time we laughed. I don't remember the last time we sat down as a family. I didn't remember the last time we sat down as a couple and we'd laughed. Like, you know what I mean? Belly laughed where it hurts. Spend time with the Father. I'm just going through some tough times. I just need patience. I just need some peace. Time with God. I need kindness. I'm not that kind to other people. It's just time with God. I need some goodness and some faithfulness in my life. Some gentleness. It's just spending time with the Father. Chad, I need more self-control. I need more self-discipline in my life. My thoughts, the way I live, what I think and what I say and what I do. It just comes with time with God. That's where it is. See, out of all the gifts that you can have, see, Peter and John, Jesus' disciples, they were walking to the temple and this poor person asked for gold or silver and they looked at him and they said, gold and silver, I have none. But what we can give you, we give you. Get up and walk. Peter and John were pulled in before the religious leaders. They were in trouble for what they were doing. They were in trouble because of their gifts. What I want to be known for is the fruit. How do I treat people? And see, that comes from spending time with the Father. And this is what it tells us in Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Any ordinary people in the room? Any ordinary people? Any ordinary people? They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I have a picture frame in my office, and I change it from time to time, from quotes to different things. And I had this verse in there for the longest time because this is all I want. This is all I want in my own life. Not being humorous, I already know I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I already know that. I'm actually okay with that. There's lots of things about me that are just ordinary. When I die, my heart's desire is this is what people say. Chad was just a regular dude, but man, he spent time with God. And that comes through in your fruits, not your gifts. Let's stand together. Before I close in prayer and open the altars, I want to remind you that tonight we have our encounter service here at 6:30 p.m. with John Finocchio. And if you've never been to an encounter service or you've never heard Pastor John share, you want to be here tonight. I'm not saying that as a pastor who wants people to come out. I'm saying that as Pastor John, he has the fruit of the Spirit. He speaks in love. But not only does he speak in love and walk in love and walk in character, but he actually would have the title of prophet. And I don't throw that around loosely. And so he's going to share with us tonight and desire us to go after the Spirit and spend time with the Father. And Lord willing, if Pastor John does some ministry time, he may speak over your life as well. And so come tonight at 6:30. When you leave this place and you go back to work, my prayer is that people will begin to see a difference in you because you've been with Jesus. That no matter what's happened in the time you've worked there, that people will begin to look at you and say, there's something different. There's something different. And you're able to say, I spent time with Jesus. What's new? What's changing in your life? Jesus is changing my heart. If you're here this morning, you just need somebody to pray with you and encourage you. That's why the prayer team is here. They just want to lift you up and encourage you. They want to pray with you. Don't leave here the way you walked in. If you have a moment where you're like, Chad, I actually do need to confess, these people will hear what you have to say and they'll never repeat it. And they will pray with you and encourage you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you, Father, with your grace and your mercy and your love. Father, will you please forgive us and correct us where we have put the gifts ahead of the gift giver? Lord, will you help us to connect with you so that we can renew our minds and transform our hearts? That, Father, Bethel becomes a place that's known of people of the gifts, but more the fruit of the Spirit. That, Father, when we walk into a restaurant, people want to serve us because we love so greatly. And so, Holy Spirit, let us be your light, your love, wherever we walk. Change us, shape us, and mold us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Please go and receive prayer.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.